we've gotten hundreds of millions in deal that's come our way. Because again, like having been in this industry for so long, I knew it was a need. And you really have to be from this industry for people to like actually trust you.
If you have over $200,000 sitting stagnant in your bank, retirement account, or home equity, then you're literally losing money. On this show, you learn how to get that money working for you consistently and conservatively. Learn to grow your nest egg with your host, Sean Winslow. Let's dive in.
Hey, Kenny, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Sean. Great to be here.
Pleasure is all mine. We briefly were just talking about, I think you termed it franchise curious. Everyone's kind of curious about franchises, and that's definitely my case. Just seeing how that business model exploded and how it's created a lot of successful and wealthy individuals. And that's kind of what this show is about. It's, yes, it's real estate, specifically multifamily apartment centric, but it's about having your money work hard for you, smart for you, because it's not what you make, what you keep. And I think this, I love bringing on people in different industries that are out there crushing it. Just provide other avenues for listeners for investment purposes and just gaining knowledge. So that was kind of long-winded, but how did you get into the franchise world? And maybe just give a quick overview of that.
Yeah, sure. So funny enough, I started off in the finance world. I was advisor at Merrill and I was doing it in San Francisco 10, 15 years ago. And that's, of course, started seeing robo-advisors pop up then. And so I didn't really see the long-term avenue for the industry. And I was actually talking to a family friend, and it's the CEO of a company that coaches CEOs. And I'm thinking about my next step in the career, start talking about it. He throws me an absolute curveball. He's like, what do you know about franchising? And I said the same thing I've now heard thousands of times since. I'm like, oh, McDonald's, Subway, Taco Bell. And he says, did you know my company's a franchise? I'm like, hold on. Coaching CEOs is a franchise? And now I know every industry is franchised. You just don't always know their franchises. From executive services to home care, hair care, automotive, painting, waste management. I've seen custom tailored suit franchises. Like they franchise everything. And so I thought like, wow, that's like a $1 trillion industry. I don't know that much about, and seems like most people don't. And so I got into what's called the franchise brokerage business. So it's kind of like being like a realtor or an investment advisor, but for the world of franchising. If you woke up and said, hey, I'm going to go to a franchise, you wouldn't know where to start. And so I'd help by like explaining franchising, recommend specific brands to look at based on your budget, your skill set and goals. And I'd coach through the research and purchase process. And so I did that for the world's largest brokerage for about 5 years. And then eventually decided to go and start my own brokerage. I moved out to Chicago where I am now. You know, really wanted to become a thought leader in the space too. So I started off just scrappy founder stuff. I started writing for free on Quora, the big question and answer website. And then they ended up sending my answers out to like 40 or 50 million people. And I got a bunch of business that way. I was like, oh, let me keep doing stuff like this. So reached out to journalists. Eventually, I got starts a little like top five listicle in the middle of nowhere. And I just kept leveraging it. And then next thing you know, I got into Forbes. I was on ABC and had a whole article on Business Insider about me. So I reached over 300 million people without a penny in ad spend. And so I was like, pretty happy with my brokerage, you know, and this idea, just I couldn't kick it where it was. Most people love the idea of owning a franchise. Like everyone knows what they are. But they either don't have six or seven figures of cash laying around, or they don't have the right skill set, really happy in their full-time job and don't want to go quit and work in a new business every day. The idea was, why can't people own franchises like they can stocks or real estate? And so that's why we created FranShares. It's the first platform where you can invest in franchises like stocks for as little as $500.
Wow. Why wasn't that created earlier? It just makes perfect sense, you know? Yeah. Like
I hear it all the time and I love it.
Yeah, man, it makes sense because what we do is we raise private money, capital from individuals that want to invest in real estate, but to your point, either don't want to leave their job or don't want the hassle of actually implementing a business plan when it comes to owning and operating real estate, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing. It makes so much sense. But I want to unpack a couple of things. Your previous career or your previous job, well, I guess your previous career of financial advisor, we have some relation there in the sense that I was on the other side of the table. I worked for a money manager that sold ETFs, mutual funds, did that for a while.
Yeah. You were giving out the free lunches I was taking, and I appreciate you.
Exactly. I was giving you the Pro V1 golf balls. We were going to play some golf.
Oh, that brings back memories.
Yeah, man. But no, so then the brokerage side. So that's like, if I wanted to go buy a Dunkin' Donuts franchise or a few of them, I would come to you and you would then either have something or find something for me.
Yep.
And that's kind of how you built that. So what kind of gave you that idea other than the fact that hindsight were like, why wasn't this created before?
So I actually had the idea for this in 2014 originally, believe it or not. Fundrise had just done their Series A venture funding. And yeah, I heard about it and I started connecting dots. I just started tearing through this business model. And you know, planning how I could build it for myself and for what franchising specifically offers for it. And then the other big thing that got it going was pandemic hit. And I read an article that people were gambling on the stock market because sports weren't on. And this is like when everyone's like locked inside, no one's going out. And that was just a kick in the head for me. It's like, oh my gosh, investing doesn't make sense anymore. And I literally just shut down the brokerage and started going off and getting this creed. And this is before all the madness that Bitcoin, a lot of cryptos, NFTs. And I still kick myself because I'm like, man, if I had done this like a year or two before, like just
unbelievable
how big it would be. Yeah. You know, I literally said like, oh, I'm late. And then I was like, okay, well, better late than never. Let's go for it.
How is this set up from like a legal standpoint? Like we do 506B and 506C of Reg D, Regulation D. Are you doing Reg A funds? Or are you doing Reg D funds? How's this set up from a legal
perspective? Yeah, so we're doing different ones based on like the type of offering and the type of owner. Like sometimes it'll be existing locations, others it'll be new locations, just kind of like how you have growth and income funds. We want to do the same type of thing. And so we will end up using all of them, both Reg D, Reg A Plus, and another one called Reg CF, which is a lower amount you can raise, but still open to non-accredited investors. And the Reg A Plus one that we'll be using the most common because it allows you to work with all those non-accredited individuals. You can raise a larger amount. Now it's up to $75 million annually per project. Mm-hmm. And then also you can typically trade it very early on, if not right away.
Okay, very cool. And you kind of led into my next question, which is, are you investing in existing assets, new locations? You kind of answered that. But if you could dive into that a little more, how that looks.
Definitely a combination of the two because, again, people have different investment preferences. Some just say, hey, I want the old tried and true steady Eddie. It's already there. And let's get into a bunch of Taco Bells or Burger Kings. And so for that, you're typically going to be paying a premium because they're usually already in existence and you're buying into that. But the pro is that you get to cash flow sooner. And then on the other side, we're working with two different types of individuals. One are like the mom and pop franchisees who are actually owner operators, and they put everything in to get 2, 3, 4, 5 locations open, but they're ready to scale now. And typically they're too small for a private equity investment and frankly, too big or too different for a bank to get involved in. You know, they'll look at it, think if you own 3 houses, you're trying to get a fourth and they're like, well, is your income massively different or you got to pay off these first? But in franchising, it's you already built the foundation. That's the hardest part. So now we want you to scale. And so we help them by acquiring other locations or building new ones to expand with. And then, you know, a big part of what we're doing is also working with first-time franchisees who maybe like they spent 10, 15 years at another brand. They know how to do everything, but they just don't have a couple million bucks laying around. It's like your dream franchisees, but your dream franchisees typically don't have that capital. And so we come in as their finance partner there.
Okay, very cool. And so you're from an operational standpoint, you're partnering with others that have been in the industry or at least have been in franchising and might be moving into a different segment of that. Mm-hmm. From your operational standpoint, you have like regional managers that go around and obviously have oversight on all the projects.
Yeah. So as we continue to expand, it's a combination of like, yeah, having people within the different areas to make sure that they have everything they need. Great thing about working with the franchise world is that they already have support from the corporate offices. And so when it comes to real estate and grand opening, like we're happy to support, but they've really got the experts there to do it for them. And then we like to provide additional tools to really help our franchisees be more successful, whether it's from opening or just to grow their existing business. So how you go through permitting process and construction and finding real estate and marketing. And so all these different areas where we have connections and vendors that we work with that as an individual franchisee would be tough, but then like being a part of our network, we're able to offer those to them.
Right. So they're getting the benefits of scale that you can offer. Very cool.
Yeah.
It's kind of like what we do in the sense of we can partner with fund of funds, but with that, they're doing due diligence on, say, myself and my company as an operator. So I'm sure that is what you're doing. How does that process look when you're trying to bring on new operators?
Yeah. So it really starts from the top down. Like before we look at the operator, we're looking all the way up at the industry first and say, what industries are growing or recession resistant? What's Amazon proof? We want to see like these industries we want to get into. And then within there, we'll actually see like, hey, what brands do we like within those industries? And so what's great about franchising is that it's regulated by the Federal Trade Commission. And so every franchise has to do what's called a franchise disclosure document and register it with each state. So then this, you get to find out everything about a franchise, who the leadership team is, what the company financials are like, is there litigation against the franchise, where are the other locations, they've been growing the amount of locations, has the rate at which they've been growing annually been increasing too. And then you can also see like what the average cost is, what the average location makes. And so we're checking all these things out as a baseline, and then we can work with operators and compare them. Okay, how are you against the baseline for both within this brand and within this industry? We do get a ton of inbound people who are looking to raise individually. And so we'll have to do that same type of analysis for them. But it's really making sure like be in a good area first before you start looking at a good person within an area.
Are there any franchises that this wouldn't work with that you may want to invest in, but they just have strict guidelines to how that kind of structure would look in terms of ownership?
I mean, from a structure standpoint, no, because we're actually solving a big need in the franchise world. Because there's this big separation between where the money typically comes from and who's the actual operator. Okay. You know, you've got things like private equity and also just people who are like coming off a previous career and they're like, hey, I don't want to go back to corporate. So why don't I do a franchise? And so those people who have the money, they're typically not the people that are going to be in there every day operating the business. They're trying to hire a general manager. And so again, you've got the separation between the two versus where we come in. We say, no, we want you to have an owner operator. And we want to fund that person and give them ownership, because doing it as just a check writer and trying to do it yourself. This is why McDonald's and Burger King are shutting down hundreds of locations each year, is that they're like, hey, some people just thought they could write a check, but they don't run themselves. Like, you can have the golden arches and you can still run it into the ground. And so this is something that Chick-fil-A does really well, is that you have to work within there and then you apply and then you can buy into it. And Chick-fil-A as a corporate helps finance it. So we're basically that type of ownership structure that we bring to other brands.
Yeah, that's one thing that I've always admired about Chick-fil-A. So I'm assuming Chick-fil-A wouldn't be something you'd go after since they already have that.
Yep. Yeah, there you go. Chick-fil-A is the one.
Yeah. It's the reason why one of the most profitable per location out of any franchise.
Yep.
There's some favorites you have. If you don't want to talk on that, I totally get it. But
I mean, you know, I don't always go into the food space. Frankly, it's a very tight margin industry. But if I were to go there, like Taco Bell's definitely a favorite. They just do stuff all hours of the day. They're very tech forward in things that they're developing. But again, I like the less sexy industries. Like, one of my favorites is one that we actually did an initial offering of ours. It's in the waste management space. And so you'll get this anywhere there's like construction or manufacturing or distribution. There's always those giant open top dumpsters in the back. And costs a lot of money to haul those off to the dump each time. So this franchise is called Smash My Trash. They drive this giant rig up, mash everything down in it, so then you can keep filling it back up again. So it's less trips to the dump, saves you money on your bill, at least 20% savings. And so it's a recurring income business. It's in a recession-proof industry, like trash is not going anywhere. And it's easier to manage than a lot of others. There's no storefront and just makes sense.
Simple, sweaty businesses can make a lot of money and are very profitable.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things, kind of like you've created here, Kenny. It's one of those things with hindsight, you're like, why didn't I think of that?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard good things about Orange Theory too. And there's like that whole health space too of franchises. I think people don't realize that those are franchises.
Oh yeah. Like most gyms that you go to are franchises. The boutique ones, the big box ones, they're pretty much all franchises, and definitely an industry I really like, especially anything service related. It does incredibly well. Like, you don't have to worry about inventory. There's usually less number of employees. So it's definitely a really good one there.
I like to hear about like the kind of the entrepreneur's journey. So obviously talking about this with you, I've just been repeating, it's a no-brainer, but did investors first, do you have investors? Two, if you do, did they look at it that way at the beginning?
God, no, it's been an absolute journey. It's funny, like, especially in the last week, it's definitely come full circle. So, you know, starting off, yeah, it costs a lot of money to like get investor documents ready and all that to get going. So I actually had to pitch the law firm first that like, hey, do these things for free. And when we fundraise, we'll pay you back. And they're like, yeah, we think this thing's got legs. Pay us back when you get funded. Went out to fundraise. And that's a fun story. I reached out to 400 venture capital firms. I may have talked to three of them. And the three were just like, interesting, come back another time. And so I was like, okay. I mean, I call it the F word of owning a business. Like, they hear that F word and it's just kind of a turnoff right away because they have like preconceived notions about it. And so I was like, I'll go prove that there's demand here. So I went off and saw angel investors. Wow. And I raised about $600,000 in 3 weeks probably. And so then I went back to all the VCs. And when you come back saying, hey, I've already raised $500,000+, they open your email and want to talk to you. And it was still difficult though, because I heard a lot of the same thing over and over. It was like, amazing idea. You're clearly the only guy to do this. I don't know anything about franchises. And they like investing in things they understand. It's just so hard to find someone in the venture space that understands the franchise space. But they always want to be on my good side for the future rounds. And so they're like, hey, let me introduce you to this person or that person. And eventually I got introduced to Chicago Ventures, and they were coming off a super hot year. They had like M1 Finance, Cameo, Project 44. They had six companies turn billion-dollar companies that year. And so I was a little like, I'm surprised they want to talk to me. Okay. And eventually I speak to the founding partner, and he blew me away. He's like, oh, I was part of a group that rolled up 500 KFCs and flipped it to private equity. And I was just like, oh, so you get this. He's like, yeah, I get it. The deal was done like 2 days later. And so that was the initial raise. And we're actually doing our second round of fundraising right now. And why I said it came full circle is like, you know, last week we had the Tech Chicago Capital Summit, wearing like a Franchise shirt, and people were like walking all the way across the room, be like, hey, I've heard of you guys. I love it. And then like things were able to schedule one-on-ones with investors, and like other startups had nothing booked, and my calendar was booked wall to wall. And so it was just like great where I couldn't get anyone to talk to me. Now everyone wants to. So it's like really nice to see like everyone adopting it. And then actually just yesterday, the Chicago Business Journal, or Chicago Inno, they call it, startup side of things, we just made their Fire Awards. And so it was top growing startups in Chicago. So yeah, been a great week.
Well, congratulations on all of that. Great news. And it's funny how that happens too. You start off and it's just like treading against a current, fighting your way upstream. And then all of a sudden it changes directions and it just snowballs. So Congrats. What form of marketing did you do at the beginning? Try to get the word out there. And how does that differ between operators and marketing for investors?
Yeah. To go from the operator side, they've actually been coming to us in droves.
Oh, great.
I mean, we've gotten hundreds of millions in deal flow that's come our way. Because again, like having been in this industry for so long, I knew it was a need. And you really have to be from this industry for people to like actually trust you. Like, they don't like outsiders in the franchise world. And then from the investor side, you know, I started off like I have a pretty big following on LinkedIn. So I started off just with that. People had already been listening to me for franchise stuff. So I got my first couple thousand on the wait list doing that. And then you know, started doing some paid social stuff. Classic ads. We started working with influencers and that did super well. It seems to be like just get in front of people, they tend to love it. And then we surveyed, I think we were about the 30,000 mark on the wait list. We surveyed people on the wait list and we said, well, the questions we asked was, how much time will you spend researching investment before you invest? Most of them said 5 hours plus. And so we said, great, let's go where they're looking and learning. And so we started doing a lot of partnerships and newsletters. And so reading about franchising or investing or anything like that, and just throw some ads in there. You know, also just talking to folks like you here is just getting the word out. That's really what it is. Like, we don't like being hardcore salespeople. It's not in my nature. And so just get it in front of them and where they're trying to learn about stuff.
All right. I like that. And so if someone wanted to invest, what does that look like? Where do they go? Is there still a wait list? Because I saw there was.
Yeah. So actually, it's a live counter behind me here.
That's
so
what that is. Okay.
Yeah. So 41,265 on the list right now. And so when we open up offerings, we let people on the wait list know in like segments, but have to get on to start, obviously. But then if you go to Franchise website, you'll be able to check out if we have offerings or if they're about to open, you'll see it from there. And you basically get to go in. It's not a blind pool. Like, you know what you're investing into. And so you get to understand the brands, the operators, the geographies, why we like it, like a lot of our research that we've done on it and like why you would want to invest in it. And that minimum investment is only $500. We really wanted to democratize this and make it accessible to everyone. And I'd say a big part too is we always love to prioritize local investors where we can, because, you know, frankly, instead of one franchisee there being the evangelist of the community for the brand, you could have hundreds or thousands of local investors who are going to be your built-in customer base and your built-in evangelists to really help you grow even more.
That makes a lot of sense, because I'm invested in, say, I don't know, some Orange Theory across the country versus here. I'm going to be going to that one if I'm invested in it, right? That makes a lot of sense. So is it a fund where you're diversified across different franchises, or is it more, I'm investing, I'm going to be specifically just in this one location?
Yeah, since we're still early, we started with like kind of like a portfolio, like a mutual fund approach, because a lot of people ask, like, oh, can I go pick individual ones? And it's like, honestly, most people don't know much about franchising. So like, just like getting into stocks, you shouldn't start off being a stock picker. You should get into like an index fund and be able to understand it and learn from it. So did a portfolio diversified by industries, by geographies, and by brands. And so you got a nice mix of things there.
All right. When you open up a new offering, what's the average raise you're doing?
It's going to vary widely. It could be as little as 5 million, ties to the max we could do of 75.
75. Wow. Okay. So hopefully that waitlist. Well, I'm sure you like it staying there, but as soon as you can deploy it, I'm sure that's exciting too. So
Oh yeah. You
get a $75 million opening. Yeah, that's exciting stuff. And again, I can't stop saying it, but like, why wasn't this around before? Because it makes so much sense.
Can I say people are going right? I like going left. And I kind of saw that with this. In finance, we're like, everyone's doing finance. And I was like, Right. Wait, what's this thing here? I'm like, that's huge. Why is no one looking at this? And I knew I wanted to do something to shake it up, but people think you can just have an idea and then go out for it. It's like, you really need to learn a lot first to have the right idea and how to execute it. And so I was like, I'm going to dig myself very deep in the franchise world, find the needs when the time's right, build something.
Yeah, it's so true. It's finance. It's why are we doing it like this? Because that's we're doing it for years.
Yep.
That's the mentality. And it's kind of like with in the real estate too, same thing. It's just the old guard. That's just how we've done it. But there's a lot of talk about tokenization, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and that's kind of how it could get more liquid and kind of trade. Is that kind of the approach you're taking with this too? Is it's more of a liquid asset, right? Where you can exchange, you can kind of trade. Is that correct?
Yep. We already have a trading platform. And so depending if there is a lockup period, your different offerings have different ones. But yeah, you're able to trade on the platform. And we always tell people like the goal is not to make money from trading. You make more when you hold it long term. So like when you're investing, hey, we will say the intended investment horizon for each offering. But we tell people like plan what you're okay with doing that for the long term. Like we don't want just one big check and then you have to go liquidate some stuff. Like it's just, it's going to impact your returns. And so it's like, hey, think of it as a long-term investment. What are you comfortable doing with long-term? And the trading platform is really there to facilitate liquidity if you have like an emergency or something, because we just don't want to encourage it.
Yeah, that's kind of what we say too. We try to work with everybody, but yeah, it's a long-term investment. But versus what we do, you actually have the optionality there of actually making it more liquid, which is really cool, because that's usually one of the bigger pushbacks in like a private placement type of investment.
Yeah.
Which I get. So Kenny, where do you see the future of this? And will the platform look the same as it is today? Or do you see that evolving over time?
Oh, it'll be very different over time. Eventually, I mean, I'm excited for the day when you have an app. You can literally just hover over your neighborhood and see, okay, here's a different franchise I'd like to own a piece of. But I will know that we're really there when I can walk into a Jimmy John's, see a QR on the window or counter, scan it, buy a piece of that business. You know, I think that's the future we're going to go to, because we want to support those local businesses. Like people talk about shopping small and owning small. And they tend to think that, like, oh, franchise isn't small. It's like, well, you have a local owner, you have local employees you created jobs for, and you're serving the local community. I mean, compared to a Trader Joe's, most of your money's leaving the city. This franchising is a local business. And so as people can like actually understand it more and invest in it and take that pride of ownership, it'll really start to change the tide. But then, yeah, we're excited for like those who invest with us. Like they might get to that point eventually where they're like, hey, I'm sick of corporate. And I'd love to go like actually own my own business. That's a good fit for me. And so we can kind of be that full circle thing and give you lending from there if you need it. So I mean, it's a big industry with a lot of possibilities for us.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. With all businesses kind of consolidating in all industries, I think franchising is a way to keep things local.
Yeah. So
that's definitely not going away. But traditional small businesses, they keep getting either going out of business or getting eaten up through consolidation. And I think this is a great way to keep business local, operators local, and money as local as it can be. So yeah. I'm with you on that. That vision's really cool. If you could go in and scan and own a piece of that.
It's coming.
Like I could even, from our business, it's like, imagine walking into a leasing office at an apartment building and being able to do the same thing, right? That's, yeah, that's a different world out there, but that's the kind of leaders we need, man, is that type of vision.
I appreciate that. I have a great team though. It's not just me.
Oh, I'm sure. Hey, let's talk about what does your team look like right now?
Believe it or not, we just had employee number 5 start today. We've done a lot with very little.
This week's big. Congratulations.
Yeah, it has been a really big week. Yeah, but it's really great. Like my first hire, he's now vice president of marketing and he former accountant. So he actually understood the finance side of things, which is very tough in marketing because not a lot of people market financial services versus I'm a very marketing forward one for it. And he had that background. And then also he'd come from a startup that worked with like gig economy drivers and food deliveries. And he grew them from 1,000 users to 400,000 users in like 3 years. And eventually we ended up bringing on who was his former head of ops. So they were employees like 5 and 6. And they grew that company to 50 plus employees, 20 or 30 million raised, just absolutely crushing it. So if you're a football fan, I like to say I got the Joe Burrow to my Jamar Chase. They've already had all these reps in. They got the chemistry. So they came in and just hit the ground running. And then, yeah, and the rest are newer additions. It was intern turned full time. and just absolutely amazing. And that new hire today, I'm excited to watch her really grow into an amazing part of the team. So I feel very lucky. I've got an amazing team with me and excited to make it even bigger.
There we go. So what's the next step for you guys for FranShares in the short term?
You know, short term, we are going to be, like I said, kind of bringing that like Chick-fil-A style of ownership to other brands. And so, you know, really standardizing that process and making it something that we can expand quickly. Because we've got a lot of big brands that are very interested in hitting the ground running with it. Because again, it's to solve something that they've had this problem with for decades. And so, you know, we're excited because also it's not just like creating investments, it's creating business owners and creating jobs. A lot of people see like working in a lot of franchise, just a minimum wage job. A lot of times you've got minorities and disabled people that are stuck at this point because there's no ladder to go up. And so really we see this as building the ladder where you can start a position and see, well, if I do these things in 5 years or so, I could eventually own my own location. And so we see that as something where like, you're getting better quality of not just the franchisees, but also the employees they get because they eventually want to go have their own location themselves.
That's a win-win for everybody because it's giving you better quality of employee and it's giving them a better quality of opportunities. So I love that model. So it sounds like some of these big name franchises are excited to partner with you guys because it's going to provide that opportunity. And I didn't know that. I think you said McDonald's and Burger King have been closing locations due to the fact that just poor operations and probably can't even find help too.
A lot of people think of it as like, oh, I can hire someone cheap and they're saving money. They're like, oh, that GM I'll get for 30 grand less a year. It's like, they think they save 30 grand. It's like, no, you just ruined your entire investment versus having that person own the business or own part of it and like have that pride of ownership and they're happy to be there every day. It changes everything. Like everyone knows when they've walked into like a good McDonald's and there's like very happy employees, they're awesome, stoked to be there versus like you take a private equity type owned one where it's like very barren, people aren't very happy. They're like, oh my gosh, you're cheaping out here and here. So I think the opposite where we should really invest in our infrastructure.
Yeah, I think two things there. One, you get what you pay for. And two, it's all about culture. And to your point, I feel like this is not a blanket statement by any means. Not all private equity is the same, but I feel like by and large, it's kind of that culture aspect's missing versus like a solid local operator that, yeah, might own dozens of locations, but they're local and they create that culture.
Yep.
And that's great because to the consolidation point, you're providing for someone who is a local operator to grow, maybe at a scale that they couldn't grow at without your resources, thereby providing a better product for the end user. So I think it's a win all around.
Yeah, we've got this husband-wife team. They're absolutely amazing in North Carolina. They worked for Buffalo Wild Wings where they met, and they actually basically launched all the Buffalo Wild Wings in the Southeast across a couple states, opened 50-something locations. Like, and we're training GM, general managers, and owners, like dream franchisees. And they got on with this brand Teriyaki Madness. So you think about who's competing with Panda Express. This is the healthier, fresher, really just more better version that you're looking for. And so they had opened a couple locations and again, just got stuck in the same problem I described. And so I'm like, no, you're the dream person. Like, you're ready to scale now, but you're constricted by these other means. And so we want to partner with you and help you blow that up. Tell them every time, road to 100. Like, I want to get them there. 100 locations.
Road to 100. Love it. That's exciting, man. And that's cool too for you. You get to see like all these really cool stories and the growth that comes along and be a part of that. I'm sure that's rewarding in and of itself.
Oh yeah. I love people and I especially love helping them build things. So I'm excited, especially a couple of years down the road to see everything we'll be doing. It's really exciting.
So assume someone's listening to this right now and yeah, maybe they do want to invest through your company right now, but maybe they're also thinking they want to get into being a franchise owner operator. Do you have any advice from that lens of what they should do? Should be like go work for a said franchise first and really get down on the ground level?
Yeah. So for like looking just to invest in them, you know, I always recommend check out FranShares up on the wait list and really get educated. Like, we're very big on education. There'll be like a white paper for you to read and investment guide. And then you also connect with me on LinkedIn. I love meeting people on there. But then if you're looking to be more of an owner operator, I definitely hear a lot about like go work within one first, but that works if you're doing like a food brand, but there's a lot that are more like service oriented and frankly, like might not want to hire you for something within their company. And so it's actually why I recommend, you know, go check out franchise brokers in your area, go talk to them, go talk to a few of them. A lot of times they call themselves franchise consultants. I found that term misleading. So I liked franchise broker and always stood behind it. You don't really know what brand's going to be the best fit for you. Like you said, Dunkin' before. When someone will come to me and say, oh, I want to buy a couple of Dunkins, my first question is why? And they're like, oh, well, because I know the name and people go there and it's a staple. I'm like, okay, well, if you want those things, there are other industries to look at that have those things for you. Just again, food can be a very tight margin business. And so getting someone who understands the different industries and what can be a good fit for you based on like your skill set, your budget, and your goals is really important. Honestly, I recommend work with a couple of them, make them compete for your love and see who gets you the best. And you'll get different recommendations. You can also check out like Forbes or Entrepreneur typically have like top franchises lists. So you can start seeing the different industries that it covers besides food. And you can be like, oh, I didn't know that was franchised. And honestly, especially people in real estate, I love suggesting going into like complementary type businesses. I mean, they have home painting ones, home staging ones, cleaning, repair, like especially insurance paid repair stuff. Most like ServPro is a great example of like very repeat business, or not repeat, but consistently needed business. Something falls in your house, someone's got to be there to fix it. And so there's just all these different like ancillary type businesses that can really help contribute to your real estate business too.
Yeah, I think to your point, you don't really realize how many franchises are out there.
Yeah.
To your point, there's like roofing franchise, like you could just keep
garages.
Going. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Gutters. Like it just, there are more franchise brands out there than there are stocks on the stock market. So it covers hundreds of industries. So it's hard to go in and be like, yeah, I know which one I should get. Like go get people who, it's just like a financial advisor. You might know some stuff, but you don't know everything. Go talk to some people who can help.
That's a smart point too. It's kind of like vertically integrating in what you're already doing. Because if, for instance, like let's talk about roof. Well, I replace roofs, not all the time, but enough where it's painful when you get that bill. That's a great idea to have like a roofing franchise. So you got to use it every once in a while on my own properties, but I'm also making a profit off of others.
Yeah, it's going to save you money on the deals that you're doing. And also it's going to introduce you to other possible deals. Like you're fixing this roof, like, are you thinking about selling this or did you just buy it? All of a sudden you are getting more business from that. And like, maybe there's someone who's just like constantly getting and renovating places and they need deal flow and you could be that person to partner with them. So just, yeah, a lot of ways you could partner up with them on it.
Oh man, Kenny, the gears are spinning in my head. This has been a great conversation, but before I let you go, you've kind of already mentioned it, but is LinkedIn the best place to get in contact with you and obviously your website?
Oh yeah, I'm a very big fan of LinkedIn. Also, like, please mention that you heard us from Sean's show. Always great to know like where people come across us.
Okay, awesome. Any last parting words of wisdom that maybe a question I haven't asked that you want to get out to the public?
I always love telling people, where did you actually learn about franchising? No one actually knows where they heard about it. They just grew up with it. And so that's why I always say like, go get educated. That's why I always recommend like read our investment guide, and just like start understanding. Like I don't tell people like, hey, you definitely should invest in this. It's probably a bad idea for a lot of people. It's a great idea for others too, just like any investment. So like do your research, see if it's a good fit for you.
Love it. I think that's important. Anything, just do the due diligence first, right?
And tell that to crypto holders. Sorry if you are one of them.
No, man. The listeners know that I give them jabs all the time. So NFTs, you're the apes, the bored apes or whatever
that is. Oh, gosh. That brings back painful memories.
Oh, man. Yeah, we could open up a whole other show on that.
Invite me for that one.
Yeah. But man, this has been a pleasure, Kenny. And thanks for coming on and sharing this. I love bringing on other types of businesses and investment models, especially alternatives that most don't know, but can provide not only great diversification, but great returns. So thanks for taking the time to jump on here.
Yeah. And thanks for having me. Really great chatting with you.
Yeah, man. And we'll have to keep in touch. And I mean that because I think this is a great business model. So
thank you so much.
Best of luck. And maybe if you come on here again, it'll be, we're at 100 employees and...
get there. We get on the show.
There is no wait list because we just have so many offerings all the time.
Yeah.
Love it though, man. But thank you for your time.
And thank you too.
All right. And listeners, as always, easy doesn't pay well and instant gratification is self-destructive. So not only get out there and work hard for your money, and not only get out there and work hard for money, but have it work hard for you, maybe possibly in a franchise through FranShares. And so we can all create the lives of our dreams and make this world a better place. All right, catch you on the next one. Hey, this is Sean Winslow. After being in the financial services industry for years and having candid conversations with good people just like you, I realized that so many of us are wanting an investment strategy that provides solid returns and consistent income without the bumps in the road. There's little known secret that your financial advisor doesn't want you to know. There is investment out there that is less volatile and the returns are stronger. Get more details by going to greenbriercg.com and clicking on the free e-report. And by the way, if this show has provided you any value, then feel free to leave an honest written review and of course, share it with a friend who needs it. See you next week for another great show.